The kids are a really tough act to follow, so. Our scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee announcing God's good news, saying, "Now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust this good news." As Jesus passed alongside the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," he said, "and I'll show you how to fish for people." Right away, they left their nets and followed him. After going a little farther, he saw James and John, Zebedee's sons, in their boat repairing the fishing nets. At that very moment, he called them. They followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired workers.
Well, thank you very much for that reading, Amy. As I was preparing my thoughts for today, I was remembering a time that I was at a conference, a church conference, and a fellow was going to give the sermon, and he was introduced with all of his academic degrees and all the books he had written and so on. And when the introduction was done, he came running up to the lectern. And when I say running, I mean running, sprinting, not just walking quickly. He just came tearing up to the lectern. And he said, "Anyone who has the privilege of sharing the gospel should run to the pulpit to do it." And I've always remembered that. I think that's a wonderful thought. I thought about doing it, and then I thought I would fall, and, you know, there are a lot of steps and bad things could happen. So, but I'm going to share this with Pastor Marcia, and when she has that knee rehabbed, we'll see if she wants to take on that challenge. So, we have celebrated Christmas, and we are, I think, about 3.5 weeks away from Lent. So, we're in that in-between time between Christmas and Lent, which seems to come so quickly. And during Lent, we delve into the mysteries of death and resurrection. So, in this middle time between these two very special times on our church calendar, it's a good time for us to think about the ways that we are called to learn from the life of Jesus and not just the contemplation of his birth and death. So our scripture reading today tells us of the calling of four of the 12 disciples. I'd like to revisit that story for a few minutes with you and think about what that particular story tells us about the whole concept of being called and how it can apply for us today. So let's begin with our reading. First of all, we're told that these four men were fishermen. Now, biblical scholars tell us that fishermen in this time period, the New Testament day, they were not lower class people who lived on the fringe, to whom Jesus was offering some kind of improbable hope, but rather a fisherman was usually kind of a middle class guy. They have homes and families and responsibilities. And knowing this, I think, makes their response to the call of Jesus all the more astonishing. You'll notice that Jesus calls them at once, and they respond at once, dropping their nets and also deserting their father. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, pretty much everything happens immediately. The word immediately, or a synonym, is used 17 times in the Gospel of Mark, many more than in any of the other Gospels, and Mark is only half as long as the other Gospels. It's one of the author's favorite words, because the author of Mark is an apocalyptic storyteller, and if things don't happen immediately for Mark, they may never happen. So here, as I look for meaning, I have to try to go deeper. I have to admit that as I read this story, I have some sympathy and concern for Zebedee. He's the father left sitting in the boat, you remember. And his story ends here in the New Testament. We'll hear from his wife, the mother of James and John, but we'll never hear again about Zebedee himself. He's left sitting in his boat with his hired men. We're going to come back to him in a minute. I want to return to that word immediately, which so dominates the Gospel of Mark and really is the key to this particular narrative of a call. Biblical scholars tell us that stories of calls always have three parts. They have a very particular setting, they have a call that is given, and then a response. And we hear these stories in both Old and New Testament. One that we don't know perhaps so well is the call of Elisha by Elijah. This happens in 1 Kings. So Elijah is looking for a successor to himself as a prophet. He comes upon Elisha and he calls him while Elisha is plowing a field. Elisha accepts the call and then he kills his oxen and makes their yoke into firewood to cook the meat. Truly, he is burning his bridges behind him. This is really dramatic. This is a great call story. His call is so compelling that for him, as well as for the four apostles we hear about today, it's so compelling that any reflection or discernment is not seen as necessary. Now, for me, in my own faith history, discerning a call has always been seen as very important. And discerning a call has had everything to do with taking some time and using some contemplation. I once took a seminary class that was a whole semester long, and it basically had to do with how people properly discern a call. Now, this reading from Mark seems to make all of that kind of unnecessary. So which is right? I have to admit, I myself am very slow about decision making. I have been known to stand in the grocery store for 10 minutes asking myself, tomato or chicken noodle? Cream of celery or cream of mushroom? I don't jump into anything headlong. And generally, that's kind of the way you and I are taught to think. We are told by our parents, look before you leap. Your actions have consequences. Don't fly off the handle. Use the brains God gave you. This is all very good advice, and it would encourage us not to do what Peter, Andrew, James, and John do in the gospel today. So how can we sort this out? Well, I think we are called in different ways for different purposes. The Gospel of Mark wants to tell us the power of Jesus' message, the good news, which must be so strong, so unlike absolutely anything a person ever could have experienced before, so that the disciples and those whom they will lead, they are told to become fishers of men, so strong that they will endure persecution and even martyrdom. Remember that at the time of this call, we are only 15 verses into the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. What we've heard so far is the declaration of the gospel, the good news, the preaching of John the Baptist, the baptism of Jesus, who was introduced to us simply by his baptism, and then his time in the wilderness. And then he emerges from the wilderness saying, "The kingdom of God has arrived. Believe the good news." This must be not just good news, but the very best news. We know so little about Jesus at this point reading the Gospel of Mark, just 15 verses in. And we know absolutely nothing about Peter, Andrew, James, and John up until this moment of calling and their shocking and radical acceptance. But yet, the power of Jesus' declaration must have met some deep need inside these men. Perhaps it was a need that they didn't even know they had. The theologian Frederick Buechner has defined the word vocation or calling as, and I'm quoting him here, "the place where our deep gladness meets the world's deep need." Sometimes it takes us a while to hear a call or to hear it rightly or to prepare. And I think that deep gladness is not the same as happiness, something different. We recall from our Christmas readings all the ways that people answer calls, starting with Mary, who does not ask for time to discern, but simply says to the angel, "Let it be done to me according to your saying." We recall the Magi, who are called to follow the star, to see the infant Jesus, and then to return home by a different path. Sometimes people are told to return home and bear witness. Sometimes they're told to stay put, and sometimes they're told to actively follow. And they all do the right thing. When we read call stories in the Bible, we accept that these calls are good because, after all, these are people in the Bible. And we believe the disciples were right to drop their fishing nets and follow the call of Jesus, even if it meant leaving poor Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. This was a profound, dramatic, an immediate call. And the call to dramatic action like this still can exist today. Last Sunday, we had the opportunity to reflect on the work and the words of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., whose call to prophetic work and complete sacrifice still amazes and teaches and humbles us today. So these calls, I think, still exist. But for the vast majority of us, our calls are not going to be that dramatic. I imagine it in this way. You have a call in your heart to follow the life and teachings of Jesus and to spend all that you have. And you have $1,000 in your pocket. So what you want to do is just hand over that $1,000 as soon as you hear the call. And you want to say, "I want to live the path of discipleship. I want to be a true disciple. So here's what I have, $1,000. Take it all. Now I've arrived. Now I've become a holy person." But I think what most of us are called to do is to keep the money in our pocket, but every day learn how to give it away. $5 today, $2.50 tomorrow, $10 the next day. Every day, we need to do the act, however small it is, that we are called to do that day. And we are never done with it as long as we have the last penny in our pocket. When we see small acts as responses to calls, they become holy as we do them with intention and love. As an example, I know there are folks here who are caring for or have cared for elderly parents. I know how hard that is. I cared for my mother before she died for some time. But most of her care was the responsibility of my brother Tom. It was really hard. But I know that my brother got up every single morning with a desire and a resolve to be more loving and compassionate than he had been the day before. What was the son's responsibility for him became a call. The poet Wordsworth writes, "The greatest portion of a good man's life is his little unremembered acts of kindness and of love." So these little acts, too, can be what we are called for. Calls like those received by Elisha, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, for me, are in equal parts enviable and terrifying. But I don't think we need to wait for them. We need to listen for the call to do, as Mother Teresa liked to say, a small thing with great love. And to meet the needs that are revealed to us, and to find our deep gladness in meeting them. So how do we know when we are called to something, when something great or small is genuinely from the good news? I think there are a few things that help us discern. First, I think a true call always calls us to grow and may stretch our comfort zones. What I call my own common sense often says to me, "Well, you know, this particular thing, that's not really you. That's not kind of what you do." And that may be the case, but what I want to do is to always listen and be open. I have learned in my own life that nothing shuts down listening quicker than fear. Second, I think a true call is always motivated and supported by love, which is generous and self-giving and without judgment. For some of us, and when I say some of us, I really mean me, but may apply to some of you. For some of us, trying to love other people unconditionally is always a struggle. Have you ever noticed that when people say, I don't want to judge, but... they're about to be really judgmental. I think that when we are called to be something or do something, if it's real, it calls us into more community rather than less. It enlarges the circle, even with those whom we sometimes want to judge. The third trait I associate with a true call is that it may upset my plans. I'm a good planner. I have notebooks. I have confidence in my plans, but being open to the call of God means that I have to have more confidence in God than I have in myself. And I think probably for all of us, that is much easier to say than to do. So, can we all listen harder for calls? Whether the call is big and dramatic, or so whispering and quiet that the person sitting next to you can't hear it. We may not drop the fishnets of our everyday lives. We may be the ones who are called to give Zebedee a hand, and maybe something else tomorrow. So let's listen. Let's let ourselves be challenged and changed. And let's always act in ways that show we are being called forward by the very best news of all. Amen. Amen.